Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent, documentary, and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar.
Beautiful and troubled 20-something Danya, an Afghan translator who used to work with the U.S. government, has trouble sleeping. She lives by herself in Fremont, California, in a building with other Afghan immigrants and often dines alone at a local restaurant watching soap operas. Her routine changes when she's promoted to writing the fortunes at her job at a Chinese fortune cookie factory in Fremont. The film is called Fremont, and we're joined today by the co-writer and director and editor of this wonderful film, Babak Jalali. Babak, welcome back to Film School Radio.
Thank you so much for having me back.
I just want to let our listeners know that you were on for Radio Dreams. Please watch this film. Please watch Fremont as well, because they're just two wonderful films about people struggling, trying to figure out things in their lives, and done with such a beautiful touch, a light touch, and the humor is organic. It's just so much. There's so much here. And where did the idea for this film come from?
Yeah. So as you said, I mean, about 8 years ago, I was in Berkeley making a film called Radio Dreams, which we shot in Berkeley, Oakland, and San Francisco, which was places that I had been to often and I knew of, but it was during the shoot that I found out about a place called Fremont. Prior to this, I had no idea. And the fact that the city of Fremont is home to the biggest Afghan population in the United States. So on that trip during the shoot, we went to Fremont primarily just to have Afghan food. And I saw my own eyes, you know, the shops and the restaurants and the people there. And I found out about the presence of Afghan former translators who were living there. Almost everyone I spoke to was a man, but I knew there were also female translators as well. About a year later, I read a series of articles in the Sacramento Bee newspaper, which I guess is a local paper in Sacramento, which had chronicled the lives of former translators who were living up there in Sacramento. And the situation up there was very similar to the one in Fremont. It was quite dire. You know, most of these translators were granted special immigration visas to migrate to the States. But once they made it to the States, they were kind of left alone and they were fairly lost in life. So that's how the idea came about. And with Carolina Cavalli, the co-writer of the project, we decided to, yeah, tell a story about a former translator starting their life from scratch. But we decided to make it about a female character, because I noticed that in the media and in films, a representation of Afghan women has always solely focused on the oppression that they face, which is not wrong or far away from the truth, but it's not the only thing that Afghan women represent. Being Iranian, when I was in Iran, I was around a lot of Afghan people, women, men as well, but a lot of women, and also when I lived outside Iran. And most Afghan women I met were fiercely independent, very powerful, had aspirations. So we decided to tell a story about a female former translator who starts their life from scratch in the city of Fremont.
And this is a good opportunity to talk about the characters, Danya, who's played by Anaïta Walisada, who is this female translator. And by the way, the treatment of the translators that coming out of Afghanistan after our 20 plus year involvement in Afghanistan, leaving them and their families so vulnerable, is a horrible stain on America for what we essentially didn't do in following up on the promises made. And so many of these people are still in limbo. They're either maybe even still in Afghanistan. It is absolutely horrific what happened to these people. But Anaïta Walisada plays this brilliantly. It's very low key, very nuanced. Tell me where you found her and what was it about her that you felt like she could carry this film?
I mean, she literally a gem, a jewel that that somehow was placed in front of us. So I was in Oakland about to start pre-production, and we hadn't cast the role yet. So we did an open casting call on social media and through Afghan community centers in North America. we said no acting experience required or anything like that. We just had some specifics, the age range and, you know, specificity of being an Afghan. We got some people responded, and I had video calls with different Afghan, young Afghan women living in Arizona or Oklahoma, California, Minnesota, all around the country. Most of them were second generation Afghans. And then suddenly out of the blue, Anaita writes an email saying, you know, my name is Anaita Walizada, I'm 22. I arrived from Afghanistan on an evacuation flight 5 months ago when the Taliban returned in August 2021. I'm here with my older sister, resettled in Maryland. My mother and six siblings are still in Afghanistan. I've never acted before, and my English is not great, but I'm interested. I got on a video call with her, and for the moment I saw her, just her presence, before she even said anything or did anything, her presence was just so wonderful. And so, like, just the way you imagine, me and Carolina imagined when we were writing the character, you know, when she started speaking and she told me her story, there's a lot of similarities with the character of Donya. Okay, Anaita herself was not a translator, but she had just arrived from Afghanistan. Most of her family were still in Afghanistan. She was fearful for their safety, and she was just determined to start her life over again. And yeah, and she was ideal, and she came on down to Oakland for pre-production. And from the moment she got here, she put her heart and soul into it, and she was so determined. And it was very moving having her there, because, like I said, so much of her own story relates to what Donya, the character, is going through. And for me, one of the highlights of making this film has been to see her in Sundance, and just the surreal nature of it. Just, you know, like I said, like, I think that merely 14 months before Sundance, she was on a plane escaping from Afghanistan. And then here she was in Sundance showing the film to a large group. So I think that was really a highlight for me.
Incredible. And she is so good. And she's so, the idea of kind of Still Waters Run Deep seems to really be what her character embodies. Mm-hmm. She has her moments where she stands up to people. There's so many things about her role in the film, and there's so many little details in this film that I won't get to all of them that I truly would love to talk about, but she's terrific. And you're right, her own story mirrors this idea of journey. And that's what this film is for me. It's a journey. And the fact that it's named Fremont, it's a place. And it's almost, it's almost mythical in a sense in relation to her life and where she's been and where she goes. One of the other strengths of the film is all of the different character actors or the other roles in the film. The woman who plays Joanna, Hilda Schmeling, just a smaller part, just so well done. Just the people let's talk a little bit about this cast, because Greg Turkington, who we know from other work, I had him on the show for Comedian when that came out. But there's just so many little roles in this film. I love the restaurateur, the guy in the restaurant, whose voice sounds like something out of an old newsreel from the 1940s. It's just an amazing, amazing array of people.
So, I mean, starting with Hilda, who plays Joanna, Hilda was a set decorator on Radio Dreams. And I remember during the shoot of Radio Dreams, I was just watching her work, and she was so precise and so super focused. And then at the rap party, we went to a karaoke bar in Berkeley, and she sang a Pat Benatar song, and it was just crazy beautiful. And we wrote the role for her because I had her in mind. So that's how she became involved. The restaurateur in the film is a local Afghan man in Fremont who works in a supermarket adjacent to the restaurant which we shot in. He took a lot of convincing. He literally was saying no, no, no until the day before we shot. And he said yes out of pity to me, because I was like, listen, I'm desperate. We don't have anyone else. And he said yes, and he came and did it. And he was incredible. And you're right about his voice. That's what initially drew me to him when I went to the supermarket to buy stuff. And when I was speaking to him, I thought, he's from another era.
It is from another, that's exactly, yes. Yeah. It does sound like, if you're watching a 1940s newsreel about Afghanistan, you'd hear a voice or something like just completely out of, amazing sound.
It's great. And yeah, Greg Turkington, I've been a fan of for a long time through his work with Rick Albertson, but also from his you know, Neil Hamburger persona or his work on cinema. And he was incredible to have on set because the way he was with Anahita was wonderful. They had a lot of scenes together and he really made her feel comfortable and really, because she was, you know, completely inexperienced at this. And having him there really helped. Same with Jeremy Allen White. I think his presence with Anahita, like his understanding of the situation gave Anahita a lot of confidence because those were the first 2 days of our shoot. So Anahita was thrown in at the deep end with Jeremy
Allen White. Wow.
Really, like, I think, gave her the confidence to keep on going. And the rest of the people, like, you know, they're all local, like, you know, Eddie, who plays the fortune cookie owner.
Great.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man. So, I mean, just we had a wonderful set of very kind human beings, I think. So,
well, I recall that with Radio Dreams, that there you had a lot of different characters, very specific kind of people that really worked well. And this is a story about this young woman, Danya. But it is like a fable. It is like something more. But almost everyone in the film has something that either advice or there's something that they're adding to Danya and her journey. Mm-hmm. And it's all, and she synthesizes this. Well, it takes a little bit of time, but you can see her trying to process all of these things. The fact that she got the opportunity to be a writer in a Chinese fortune cookie factory, beautiful. Just a wonderful touch. I don't even know if I have a question. I'm sorry.
Thank you. No, but just like the idea of, like you said, the characters, like it has those similarities with Radio Dreams in the sense that I think wherever you are, I think in the world, be it in Fremont, be it in Kabul, be it in London, wherever you may be, I think if you don't look for specific characters and those characters just somehow organically form around you, they just suddenly without knowing, you feel like you're in a situation where you're just confronted with very interesting characters constantly. You know, the hope is like the film, both films, I guess, focus on lonely people in a way.
Yeah.
In my ideal, it would be a situation where, you know, these interesting characters who somehow find themselves lost or somehow seemingly without a clear pathway somehow find themselves surrounded by each other. I think that's always, I just think that's in my imagination, at least, I think that would be a very cool setup if that doesn't end up happening, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Babak Jalali, and he is the director, co-writer, as well as editor of this wonderful film called Fremont. It's coming out in Los Angeles at the New Art Theater on September 1st, also at the Lemley Glendale and the Lemley Town Center. And go to the website. It's at musicboxfilms.com and look for it there, and you'll find out where it's playing. It's opening in New York as well. So if you're listening to our conversation anywhere, please check this out. I want to talk a little bit about the look because it is black and white. I love well-done black and white, and this certainly is just wonderfully done. And I want to talk a little bit about the cinematographer and how you went about sort of your dialogue with them about this.
Yeah, Laura Valadeo is a cinematographer in the film. She's a wonderfully talented person. She's also native to Fremont, lives in New York now, in Brooklyn now, but she's from Fremont. And so a lot of these locations she knew from childhood. I'd never worked with her before, so I only met her when I was speaking to different cinematographers. From our first conversation, the references we had were very similar. This wasn't a film that while we were writing, I imagined in black and white. It was very late in the game that the decision to go black and white came about. And it was after these initial conversations with Laura, where I brought it up, I said, you know, what do you think if we do this in black and white? And she was incredibly enthusiastic. And of course, I was terrified to tell my producers. But, you know, having Laura there, like, you know, saying, you know, yes, go for it, gave me, you know, let's say the confidence to go forward. But I'm very lucky that I had very supportive producers. It could have gone very badly, those conversations. But thankfully, because they're just so supportive, my producers, they agreed to it. They let me do it. And I'm forever thankful for that. The reasons for shooting in black and white, honestly, I really don't have a very intelligent or intellectual answer to this. And whatever I say would not be very elegant or eloquent. It's purely a guttural thing. I really, in my gut, I just felt, based on the locations that I had seen, based on the atmosphere that was in the script that we wanted to recreate visually, I just felt black and white was the answer. And that's the sole reason. I just very suddenly and very strongly felt that this should be in black and white.
Well, there was something about that decision where you trusted your instincts, and I think it paid off beautifully. There are just so many elements to this film to recommend. The look of the film, the story itself, the acting. There is this enveloping humanity that the film just resonates with. Well, Babak, I so look forward to a conversation with you about your next project. And I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us to talk about this wonderful film, Fremont.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me again.
We've been talking with co-writer, editor, and director of the wonderful film Fremont, Babak Jalali. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.